Thank you for coming. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. As we deal with a characteristic of that we Christians should put off or should work on a regular basis, and that is dishonesty. It's a fine line maybe sometimes, but God wants you and I to be honest. And that deals with not just, as I mentioned with the children, it deals with stealing, it deals with lying, it deals with cheating. There's several areas that dishonesty covers. And here's our verse today. I'm going to ask you if you're able to, as we stand, as we read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That's actually 2 Corinthians, forgive me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood," and here's the key portion, "let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. A recent survey, or some time ago, of high school students, approximately 30,000 students were polled, and 30% of them admitted that they had, over 30% admitted they had stolen from a store within the last year. 30% of the students, 30,000 students, had admitted stealing from a store. Almost 85% admitted lying on something real significant recently to their parents. About 65% admitted cheating on a test. About 40% had cheated two or more times recently. About 95% of those said they were satisfied with their ethics and their character. And about 75%, a little over 75%, said they were better than most people. Yet they were doing all of these things. I dare say, dear friend, not just in our world, which we expected in our world, because non-Christians, that's what they do. They shack up. They brawl. They strive to break up families. They do all of the things that non-Christians do because they don't have the Lord Jesus. But we believers have to be on guard that we're not, that we don't appear, that we don't carry ourselves in a dishonest way. And Ephesians chapter 4 deals with some of that. It's a huge problem in our society, not just elected officials. And you and I know elected officials have a huge problem with dishonesty. The media has a huge problem with dishonesty. Lawyers and judges and you name it. We could go on and on all day. Unfortunately, it affects you and I as well. In fact, God struck Ananias and Sapphira dead for being dishonest in Acts chapter 5. It shows us how intolerant God is of dishonesty. And it's imperative that we Christians be honest in our dealing with other people. And that's what 2 Corinthians said. Look at 2 Corinthians with me there on the screen. "Instead, we have refused to use secret and shameful ways. We don't use tricks," the Apostle Paul says. "We don't distort God's word. As God watches, He's watching you and I. We clearly reveal the truth to everyone." So we don't use trickery. We don't use ways to twist the Word of God to make it the way we want it to be. Charles Spurgeon says this, and I put the last part on your screen, but here's what he said. He says, I've seen all sorts of people converted, great blasphemers, pleasure seekers, thieves, drunkards, sexually immoral, he says unchaste, but same thing, and hardened reprobates. And that's what he says, but rarely, Charles Spurgeon says, but rarely have I seen a man converted who's been a consistent liar. I'm telling you, dear friend, people that lie consistently and over and over and over, there's just something about their heart that is so hard and cold, it's hard for them to get past that and come to the Lord Jesus. It can happen. We know God can save anyone. Even Charles Spurgeon had difficulty with some. So let me give you a few little truths today from God's Word about dishonesty. First of all, I want you to see the problem with it. The problem with dishonesty. God's Word condemns it. Clearly condemns that you and I be honest in our dealings with people. In the Law of Moses, we see it. Leviticus 19 says this. Never steal, it says. Lie or deceive your neighbor. Don't do it. We're tempted to do it when they double-cross us, they deceive us, they hurt our feelings, they anger us, they frustrate us. But God's watching us, as we just read a moment ago. Don't do it. The Law of Moses condemned it. The Proverbs chapter 6, notice the six things that the Lord hates. Seven things He detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows strife or discord in a family or among the brethren, your translation may say. God cannot stand these things because He knows how bad they are. He knows how evil dishonesty is. He knows how it destroys so much. Proverbs chapter 11 says the same thing. The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales. Dishonest scales. We play like maybe, or we're dishonest in our dealings, not just with scales. Look at Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. An abomination. Very, very strong words from the Lord Himself. An abomination to the Lord. Liars, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, it's condemned in God's Word. It also destroys reputations. Let's see if we have that. I didn't put it on there. But let me tell you this. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 says this. But cowards, those who refuse to believe, who do evil things, who kill, who sin sexually, who do evil magic, who worship idols, who tell lies, and all these will have a place in the lake burning sulfur or lake of fire, which is the second death. So the Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 says, all liars are going to have their place one day with Satan in the lake of fire. False words. They're not only evil when we use false words. They infect in a way. They infect our soul with evil. Socrates said that. Thomas Jefferson said, honesty is the first chapter of the book of wisdom. Abraham Lincoln says, no man has a good enough memory to make a successful liar. Nobody can do that event continually. So it destroys, it's condemned in God's Word, but it also destroys reputations. We see it all the time. Once you're caught in a lying, stealing, or cheating scenario, you'll rarely be trusted again. Gossip destroys reputations. We know it's a common sin today, very, very common. And we forget how ungodly it really is sometimes. But we open our mouths and we start talking to someone else. And sometimes we do need to ask these questions that I have on your screen. We need to ask ourselves, when someone's talking to us, is what they're saying is true? Is it really true? Are they just talking or you know, mouthing? Or is it what they're about to say or what I'm saying, is it true? Does it really need to be said? We need to ask ourselves that. Should it be said? Or should we leave it alone? Should we mention it? Or should we forget about it and just hide it in the annals of our mind and leave it alone? Should it even be said? Do we need to not even mention it? And another question we should ask ourselves when we're thinking about gossip or thinking about slander or any of this stuff, we need to ask ourselves, would I put it this way if the person were right here in front of me talking to them? Would I say it this way? Would I mention that? Well, if so, maybe. But if not, I shouldn't even mention it at all. If not, it shouldn't be said. We shouldn't even say it. You know, there's another side to this gossip thing as well. It's not just wrong to speak gossip, but it's also wrong to what? Listen to it, isn't it? It's as wrong as it is to gossip, it's just as wrong to listen to it. A rabbinic saying says this: slander kills three, the one who speaks it, the one who listens to it, and the one to whom it's spoken of. Slander kills three. The Puritan, the great Puritan Thomas Watson said this: he that raises a slander carries the devil in his tongue, and he that receives it carries the devil in his ear. Dear friends, that's how serious gossip and slander and all of that is. Dishonesty is what we're talking about. Watson was right. Whenever we listen to gossip, we become implicated in its sin. We get drawn into making judgments about others, and we start judging. The problem is that most of us like to hear a little gossip. We have an appetite for it. That's just our sin nature, especially if it's juicy. According to Proverbs, let me remind you of this verse. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. I want you to know, dear friend, no matter how tasty it is, it's still poison. It's still dangerous. It's still something we should not pass down to our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. No matter how tasty it seems. What should we do when someone tries to tell us something we know we shouldn't hear? Perhaps we should say something like, this is starting to sound like gossip. We need to talk about something else. Or maybe we should say, wait before you say anything more. Why don't we stop and pray about this? And I guarantee you that'll stop it right there, won't it? Most of the time. Or maybe we should say, I'm sorry, I'm not sure I can listen anymore. Tell me that you have gone to that person that you're telling me about and you've spoken to them. Have you gone to them and spoken to them before we even mention this? If you haven't, it wouldn't be right for us to talk about it. So God just wants you and I just to be wise in dealing with dishonesty, in dealing with whether it's lying or cheating or stealing, all of that. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says, a good name is more desirable than all the great riches To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. God is really speaking that you and I, to have a good name, to do the best we can with our character, keep our character clean and pure, it's much better than silver and gold and anything. Because you and I know we can't take it with us one day, but we can take a good name with us. We can take honesty and character and integrity with us. The problem with dishonesty and gossip and all of that is it tries to steal the treasure of a person's name. Your name is treasure. In God's eyes, your name is treasure. And that's what gossip does. It steals someone's treasure in their name. When it's said, it's slander. When it's printed, it's libel. Not only does gossip and dishonesty do all of that, the problem with dishonesty is condemning God's word, destroys reputation. It demolishes families. You know of families that's been demolished by gossip and slander and cheating and stealing and lying. I do too. It's just common sense. We see it all the way from Adam, all the way through the book of the Bible, all these families in the Bible, Abraham, David, all the way down the line, lying and cheating and stealing. It demolishes families. It demolishes relationships. Relationships are dependent on trust, on us trusting one another, and dishonesty obliterates that. It does the opposite of that. Even if we lie for one another, we're undermining a trust. We have to be careful with that. A Bosnian proverb says, "Who lies for you will lie against you." So be careful. Be careful. Let me give you the second truth. There's Revelation 21, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. There's a solution to dishonesty. We need Jesus, obviously. With the Lord Jesus, we can overcome this. We trust Him daily. We die to ourselves, but the Bible tells us, and we read it earlier, that we are to put it away. Some things we're to put on, some things we're to put off, but we are to put it away. Put away lying and cheating and stealing. Put on the new man, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 through 25. Put it on, it tells us. Put off your old self, it says in verse 22. Your former manner of life is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians chapter 9, chapter 3 tells us as well, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the deeds of the old man, or put off the old man with his deeds. Don't lie. We don't have to do that. And as Christians, we should not do that. We should practice that. Obviously, we're sinful. We're creatures. We accidentally, or we fearfully, or whatever we do sometimes, but we're to guard against doing these things. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. We don't have to do all this, all these things the Pharisees did. You know, I know these verses are about, Matthew chapter 5, verse 37 is about swearing, but still, and the Pharisees believed that you could swear, but not falsely. You could do it not falsely. And Jesus says, don't do it at all. And so that's why we're to be careful. We're to be cautious about things. How much better, how much more pleasant would our society be? How much more pleasant would our churches be all together, all of them, if we live more honest lives. Maybe you don't struggle with honesty. Maybe it's not you the message is directed to today. But maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood that God is speaking to you today to say, you need to help them. They struggle with lying. They struggle with cheating. They struggle with stealing in some way. And God has you here for you to speak to them about this matter. God wants you and I to be like Jesus. That's why we're still here. And that's why we need Jesus. If, you know, as I shared with the young man that you grabbed the groceries to just a moment ago. You don't clean fish before you catch them. You clean the fish after you catch them. And so I was trying to express to him that God changes you from the inside. He catches you. You don't go to him trying to clean up before you go to him. You just go to him. You let him save you and work in your life and use you. And he begins to purge and prune and clean you up as only he can. Let's pray. Father, if there's one today that if they died, perhaps you're showing them through their poison of lying. Maybe there's one in this room that has a strong desire to continuously, maybe it's a young person, maybe it's a child even, they just over and over and over, they just lie and lie all the time. And maybe through this message, Lord, you're speaking to them to let them see that they've never had a change of heart. They've never trusted Jesus. They've never surrendered to the Lord Jesus. They're not ready to face you one day, Lord, in judgment. Father, if there is that one today, may, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, may they just, right where they are, may they just surrender to you. May they call out for you to save them and ask for forgiveness of sin, Lord. Because we're not promised another day. So, Father, just have your way with our remaining of our service. For those who are Christians here today that maybe even struggle a little bit too, Father, may they repent of that today and confess that sin to you, that they need to trust you more. They need to be more faithful in the area of dishonesty. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Christ's holy name, amen.